This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He's returned. Lewis has come back to us. He's back.
Hello. Hey, Dan. Sorry, I wasn't here last week.
That's okay. Do you know who was mostly concerned about that?
Who's that?
My mother. She sent me a text. She sent me a text. The question was, is Lewis still doing the podcast?
Oh, sorry. I mean, I only missed one in like 10 years. Sorry. I'll be totally honest. I just forgot.
Then that's fine.
That's all it was. It was nothing more significant than that. I was in Melbourne. I was visiting my family. I was doing some live shows there. I just slipped my mind.
100%. It happens to me all the time. At about 3 p.m. on a Thursday, I wish I could forget this podcast has to be recorded. We've got a few things to mention at the top of the show before we get stuck into it. First of all, we've got the People's Choice Awards for the Australian Podcast Festival. That link is out now. It's in our show notes. So please, if you are people and you like to choose Irrational Fear as your favourite podcast, please hit that link and select us. That would be marvellous. We've got a few less listeners than many of the more listened to podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. Like Shameless. I think they've got like a million downloads a week. We're cracking 10,000. Right? We're up there.
A million? Do they get a million a week?
I think a month. I think their uniques are a million a month. Yeah.
Wow, good for them.
Yeah, good for them. And Women in Media Conference is coming up September 9. We'll be performing there. But also the one that you should all try to get to is our Tip Top Tour. We are going to the Torres Strait to perform Irrational Fear at Thursday Island Bowls Club on the 18th of September. So do come along to that. Are you excited about that, Lewis?
I'm so excited. I've never been there. I've never been, you know, that far north.
You know who hasn't been there in 5 years? Their local member, Warren Tench, hasn't been there. We're going to go
kidding.
Because, quite frankly, those people need a voice. Someone's got to do it. It's got to be us.
I'm pumped. I can't wait. I am so excited about that show.
I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on the land of the Gunungurra and Tharawal people. This October, let's try listening. Vote yes for The Voice.
The following program contains medium coarse language and traces of nuts. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences. Comedians, experts, laughing at the world as it burns down around us. This is...
Are you ready?
A Rational Fear.
Are you ready?
Tonight, Brisbane Lord Mayor solves the problem of homelessness by getting wealthy people to make unlivable apartments that will never go on the market to be rented by anyone who can almost afford it. That's known as the Sydney Method. And Australia Post loses $384 million in an inquiry. They found they lost it because they sent it with Australian Post. And no campaigners are furious that they can't vote with an X or use their iPads. It's the 31st of August 2023 with more job offers than Mark McGowan. This is Irrational Fear.
So, here we go. This is Irrational Fear.
Hello, welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, former Qantas CEO, Dan Illich, and this is the podcast that takes the news and dips it in gravy. And we've got some gravy connoisseurs tonight. They're a comedian, writer, and practitioner of climate ASMR from Pedestrian and FBI Radio. It's Izzy Phillips. Welcome, Izzy.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Now, Izzy, how do you do climate ASMR? Is that just like burning houses around you in your ear? Is that how that works?
Yeah, look, it's a whole bunch of things. I mean, I guess that's like the one beauty of the climate crisis is that it reaches literally everything. So you can kind of chew on stuff, tap on stuff, you know, it's all there. It's all climate ASMR.
Everything's climate. Mm-hmm. And despite me asking my agent many times, they're the only guest that we've had on Irrational Fear that has also been on Help, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which is exactly what they said when they tried to leave Channel 10 Newsroom for good. It is Tash Exelby. Welcome, Tash.
Hello, Mr. Illich. I think that is the finest introduction I've ever had.
Wow.
Man, yeah, and you've been in show business a long time. When I say show business, you know, the news.
That's true. I mean, I've also been sacked twice. I'm chasing the trifecta. So, you know, a nice intro isn't always, you know, it's not the best compliment I can give you.
And he's been gallivanting around the country, remembering the time he used to be a youth broadcaster all those day ago. It's Lewis Hobber.
Hello. Yes, thrilled to be back doing Irrational Fear. Again, apologies to Gwen and all others that I missed it last week. But yeah, really excited to be back.
Gwen's my mum. Yeah, thanks for that. Tash, do you have any advice for someone who's recently been unemployed in the media for Lewis? You know, Lewis had a bit of a departure from the national broadcaster.
Well, firstly, Lewis, I guess my first piece of advice to you would be maybe don't forget to attend a podcast that you've been doing for many years.
Yes!
Yeah.
Pop that one in the diary. Yeah. But it's not called unemployment. It's called fun employment. And as I've been told, you will never be lucky enough to not work again. I'm not saying that that's not going to be pushing trolleys at Woolworths.
And that is a perfectly fine career choice for those who like to do that.
Sure. Yeah.
Coming up later, we'll ask, when's The Voice? We'll try and understand it. But first, here is a message from this week's sponsor.
The price of food, petrol, all up. Savings, bank balance, all down. At Woolworths, we get what families go through because we put them through it. The cost of living is sky high, just like our record profits. You can thank us later. That's also why we're keeping an eye on you with an industrial surveillance complex to catch you trying to feed your family at the expense of our shareholders. After all, it's how we get our Woolies worth. Like record levels of Woolies worth. Wow, a dividend. We're Woolworths, the fascist people.
Maybe a bit too much on that one. This week's first fear.
I was with you until the fascists. I'm like, I don't think I'm living under the oppressive Woolworths thumb.
Well, I mean, did you live through the Oogies or the Moogies? What were they called? The Ooshies? The Great Ooshies? Dictatorship. We all lived under it. It was terrible.
Yeah, look, terrible. Until we have to visit the embalmed body of the Great Ushi, it's okay.
When the Ushi craze was big, right, it was like pandemic time and everyone was collecting Ushis. We had some Ushis and I thought I had a rare one and I put it on eBay. And I mentioned to my partner that I was doing this. And then I started getting hits on eBay. And the person on eBay requested I take photos of it floating and then requested I show different positions of the ushi in water to prove that it was a real ushi.
Oh.
And it was revealed to me that that person was my partner. logging on the eBay. Yeah, so thank you, Kate.
That's well really done. Good.
This week's first fear. Look, I know we're going to do it. It's divisive. It's been in the media a lot this week, but let's do it. Let's talk worms. A woman from southeast New South Wales went to Canberra Hospital complaining of forgetfulness and headaches. And after an MRI, they discovered a wriggling worm in her brain. The neurosurgeon said, it's a once in a career finding, which made this woman feel so good that her brain worms made his career, Dr. Worm. The worm they pulled out was still alive. So it was in Canberra. So they just put it in a box and sent it to the CSIRO. And the scientist there looked at it and went, yep, it's a worm. apparently, the worm is a common parasite of carpet pythons. It like hangs out in their feces. And this woman may have accidentally eaten carpet python feces. And look, if that's her kink, I don't want to yuck her yum, but that is yuck. Izzy Phillips, do you have worms on the brain this week?
Well, I am utterly obsessed with this because all of the symptoms are kind of just like symptoms of burnout. So I'm like, wow, am I burnt out or do I just literally have 8-centimeter parasites crawling around my brain? It's a 50-50 gamble at this point. They think that she's ingested it through the carpet python pooing on Warragul greens, which she foraged. And it's like lit the foraging community like a Twitter, like they're all talking about this like shocking discovery if they should still be foraging. And I just like love this idea of like the foraging community coming together over this kind of like once in a lifetime event of an 8-centimeter worm in a brain.
Yeah, I mean, sure, this woman's brain has been decimated by this worm, but it's done wonders for the foraging community. I didn't know the foraging community existed until this event happened. It's amazing.
I'm not sure.
It's pretty incredible. But
I would have thought after the poisoned mushrooms debacle of like 2 weeks ago, the foraging community was already abuzz.
I honestly think it's a symptom of a cost of living crisis. People are out there foraging at all costs.
Yeah. it's stealing in a way. It's stealing from Mother Earth, foraging.
Yeah, Mother Earth needs some AI and some cameras like Woolworths has got to check
to prevent shoplifting,
to keep a track of what feces is coming in and out of their grasses.
Because I've been reading like silly news aggressively every day for a decade, but now I'm off. Like I'm actually having a news like holiday at the moment. I haven't read the news in like 2 weeks. And I have seen this pop up on the social media. I've seen the worm discourse and I've been so tempted. It's like I've gone cold turkey on wacky news and someone has come in with the sweet, sweet good stuff. And they're like, this is brain worms. They're in New South Wales. It's a local story. And I'm like, just a treat.
This is just the parasite I need to chow down on my serotonin.
I have been obsessed with this story though. Like I'm like, how did the worm get into the woman's brain? Like did she inhale it through her sinuses, the egg that is, or something like that? But from what I've read, it would have gone into the gut, but the worm didn't want to be there because they're like, this isn't a rat, this isn't a bandicoot, this isn't home. Oh. And it's made its way up through several of her organs into her brain. Like actually traveled there live. I don't know like what she felt or what not.
As they go through an organ, do they like leave a plaque? Like this worm traveled through my lungs. In 2023.
Yeah, it's the worm equivalent of climbing Everest. It's like there's something up there and we will find out what it is. On the way, it's just wiggling past the bodies of several other dead worms from around the world, just rich worms that have travelled there to see if they could get to the top of the woman mountain.
I feel like this is like her body is like this worm is living the rental crisis in her body because what's happened is every organ that it's been pushed out of, it's because her immune system has been pushing the worm. So it finally got to her brain where it thought it was safe, and then a surgeon's come in and literally evicted it out of her brain.
And it's always the surgeons, the landowners.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I own 4 brains.
We really need to get Albo onto this to get more brains for more worms. Built by 2025.
Something
we
like
we need more
I was surprised though when the doctor who was operating thought that they were removing a tumor because that's what they thought that the MRI had displayed, got freaked out. I mean, I understand you don't expect to find a worm in someone's brain, but they were like, ew, this is disgusting. And I'm like, you work in people's brains every day. Like, isn't that a confronting sight enough?
Because a brain just looks like a huddled mass of 1,000 worms.
Indeed.
Something to think about.
I just love the worm agenda that's being pushed. We're talking about worms. I think worms are awesome. And now there's all of this discourse around the different types of worms. And I just think it's really good for worm visibility as a whole.
So true.
I'm not sure the woman with the 8-centimeter worm in her brain would agree with you, Izzy, but okay, let's run with that.
But, like, that's also kind of awesome. She's forever the woman with the worm in her brain. Like, you know, she's at some random function and she'd be like, oh, hi, you know, my name is such and such and I'm the lady that had the 8-centimeter worm in my brain and she'll be ever be fawned over. It's kind of awesome.
She also might be cancelled because she killed a worm.
I wonder if it will be annoying for her. Like every time she like forgets her keys or something, they'll go, brain worm. Like, would you lead with it? Like, I guess, would you, like, if you're, you know, you're a single person,
you're loading up your
dating profile.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, brain worms. Yeah. It's like, because I.
Sorry.
I used my.
Sorry, son, I forgot your birthday. I've got brain worm. we know what that's like. Izzy, I think you bang on. Let's not forget, next Tuesday is Wear It Wrigley Day, where you need to wear a wriggly bit of clothing to celebrate the life of worms.
This is Irrational Fear.
What is rational fear?
It's based in fear.
Taking the saddest headlines and giving them a little tickle.
This week's second fear. It's been a wild fortnight for the Royal Spanish Football Federation, namely their chief, Luis Ruibales, who a couple of weeks ago forced a kiss upon a player, Jenny Hermoso, on stage in Sydney at the medal ceremony for the FIFA Women's World Cup. The players were outraged. The world was outraged. They boycotted until he resigned. He refused to resign and then launched legal action against his victim. FIFA stepped in and said, well, we're not going to have any of that, thank you very much, and suspended Rubiales for 90 days. Now, Rubiales' mum has come to his defence and tried to support her son by going on a hunger strike by locking herself in a cathedral. She didn't last too long. She was taken to hospital after she felt anguished and dizzy, symptoms normally associated with being sexually assaulted in front of a billion people.
Did not mean to laugh at sexual assault, but that was a funny joke, Dan Ellick.
Well, I'm glad it was on the record so I don't get cancelled in 3 days' time. This is a saga that won't end. What is next for Rubiales? How can he possibly make this worse for himself? Lewis, would your mum go on a hunger strike if you sexually assaulted someone in public?
Jesus, God, I hope not. I don't want to bring my mum into this. Let's not drag the Hobber family into someone else's mess. It's obviously awful and the hunger strike element is news to me. I wasn't aware of that.
Isn't it so bizarre?
It's so dramatic.
Like,
it's the only part of the story. Like, obviously, if we remove the horrific part from it, a mum going full drama and storming into a cathedral, I'm just like, could you be a little more of a Spanish stereotype for just 1 second? Going on a hunger strike in a cathedral because you think it should be okay for your son to kiss women without their permission. I'm just like, mwah, delightful.
Praying to the god of Saint Patriarchy.
Yeah, that's really something. How long did she last?
I think it was only a couple of days.
90 minutes plus extra time?
I actually think it was less because she went to hospital and then within like a few hours she was out. Like I think that also they need to use the church. Like the priest left the church and then the mother and the sister went in and like did a lock-in. But it's like doesn't the priest like live in the church or around the church? Like let him back in.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel like this whole situation, it's like a parent-teacher interview night. And the mother's like, oh, my son would never do this, despite the fact that we have footage that was broadcast to billions of people. It's just giving like a mum at a parent-teacher interview.
Totally.
Amen to Izzy that one. And hopefully Luis Ruibales' mum approves of me saying amen on this podcast. I do enjoy just saying Rubiales, though. I must say that. I do enjoy saying
it. Rolls off the tongue, yeah. Look,
he mounted Jenny. The footage is crystal clear. So, Mrs. Rubiales, I hope you're doing well in hospital and recovering and hydrating, but your son did the wrong thing. So, carb up, honey, and give him this milk.
Did we also see that the uncle has entered the chat as well? that
no, he's no. Hang on a second, Izzy. What's going on here?
This is like a Spanish like drama. I'm obsessed
this
with
it. This is muy caliente.
Absolutely. So they worked together for a few years and then had a falling out. And then the uncle left, and now he's come out and said that he's obsessed with power and luxury and money, and that he needs to be re-educated with his relationship with women. And he's also made these allegations that he took some of the money from the Spanish Football Federation to fly to New York to have an affair, which is just like peak family drama.
Wow. Oh my goodness. This is fantastic. This isn't a news story. This is Succession. Yes. This is wonderful.
It is. There's a drama right there.
Wow.
Izzy, what else you got?
Yeah, this is amazing.
You're so deep in this story.
I'm obsessed with this story. It just keeps on going. Because it is. It's like El Succession, you know. It's like the Spanish Succession. It's awesome.
Yeah, the real Rubialises of like Madrid. It feels like it's right around the corner.
It's a bit like Q&A on crack.
This is a rational fear.
This week's third fear. And finally, the government will have a reprieve from the scrutiny of having their expenses under the microscope, at least until 2024. That's almost a full term without having any expenses looked at. We won't know how much they're expensing on travel, cabs, dinners, Grange, accommodation in their own houses. We just won't know because the computer system run by the Independent Parliamentarians Expense Authority is down. Yes, there's this new expense management system that was brought in when Bronwyn Bishop took a private helicopter from Melbourne to Geelong to go to a Liberal Party fundraiser, a helicopter ride that cost $5,000. Now, can anyone guess how much this computer system, which for all intents and purposes is pretty much Excel, it's just got to be a variation on Excel. Guess how much this computer program has cost so far? Anyone?
Well, it costs like $130 a year to get all of like the Microsoft suite, like all of them. So I reckon, you know, add a little bit of like corporate whatever grease on top of it,
$150. $150. Oh, $100.
That's my guess.
No, it's way more than that. Way more than that. It costs so far $69 million. It's overdue. This expense system is overdue. It's been like been dragging their feet on it for like 5 years. It's currently at $69 million. And like you wouldn't want to miss $5,000 of helicopter ride. You'd want to spend $70 million to really make sure people are spending the money correctly.
Is PwC building this? What the fuck?
Well, it could be Stuart Roberts' friends. Who knows? You know, fear mongers, is $70 million a small price to pay to know where Bronwyn Bishop is at all times?
You just look to the skies, Dan. Look to the skies.
I think the fact that they're blaming it on an IT error is just baffles me, because it's like they're saying there are no digital natives in here that could possibly figure it out. You know, it's just like some crazy computer thing that we've got no idea what's going on. I think, Dan, that you're totally right. They should just put it in a spreadsheet. Like,
that's it. I mean, I spend $50 a month to use Xero. Like, what? Just use Xero. Mm-hmm. I've seen the ads. The ads make it look like fun. The ads for Xero make it look like you're having a fiesta every time you're doing your bookkeeping, which isn't true, but still, it's $50 a month.
It is crazy though, isn't it? It is crazy. But, I mean, let's not forget, in the interests of being, you know, both sides here, it was the Bronwyn Bishop Choppergate scandal that started this whole fiasco, but this is happening under the Labor Albanese government, and they're not coming up with some very good answers about it.
No.
I mean, if I was them, I would definitely say, probably can't do it till next term.
Maybe the term after that.
Oh, I reckon Albo's just like accidentally ordered all his Uber Eats but forgot to change like the personal to the work, and he just like got all of his Uber Eats. He's like, I can't let people know that I've had Domino's 3 times this week.
Mate, I have had Marrickville pork roll 5 times a day.
Yeah, exactly.
For 10 years.
Yeah, the shame of ordering Marrickville pork roll when you are the member of Grindler and you can get Marrickville pork roll by walking 10 minutes out of your door. Shame.
I liked that he lined up for the pork roll. I liked it. I also think it was a total media stunt.
Of course. My problem, and look, I don't want to get too deep on this podcast, My issue with Marrickville pork roll is you have one and you're famished in an hour and a half. The bread has no like GI to it. Delicious on the mouth. But you got to eat three of them to get through the afternoon.
Mm. That's why I do. It's great. That's why I look the way I do. You know? I hit up Marrickville pork roll for breakfast. I go to Hong Ha Mascot for lunch.
Yeah.
I go to Hong Ha Bondi.
This is how Albanese pork barrels. It's in a bun.
It's funny, all this talk about accountability and transparency comes as Richard Marles, Defence Minister, is being slammed for using an RAAF jet to the tune of about $3 million over the last few years.
Or 1/20th of a computer.
I think it was $3.6 million, but I don't want to pull you up on your own podcast.
$3.6 million, whatever. $70 million, whatever.
Bloody cheaper than two flights on Qantas. Who's with me? Okay, everyone.
Yeah.
Who wants to be Alan Joyce this week?
Yeah. Honestly, still me. Are you kidding me? He's a rich fucker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever he gets paid to get yelled at, I'll take half and take the same. Like, if people are like, there's no poor Alan Joyce. Ever in my life.
I rarely get nervous meeting famous people, but I was with my friend Lucy Jurek and we were seeing a show at a theatre. I think we're seeing Matilda at the Lyric in Sydney, and she knows everyone. And the manager of the theatre saw her and I walking down the aisle, and he was like, oh, come with me, come to the secret room. We're having the special opening. So he opened up this secret side passage. We went through, and there's this room full of extremely famous people, all sorts of famous people there. The person I got most nervous being introduced to was Alan Joyce. I was like, oh, you're so rich and can destroy my life.
Did you seriously get nervous meeting him, Dan? Because you've met.
I got nervous meeting Alan Joyce.
You're probably the only person he's met who's shorter than him. I feel like if I met him, I'd pat him on the head, turn him upside down, and shake him for coins.
There's only one thing shorter than a leprechaun, and that's a troll.
I feel like his comms people did him really dirty when they did, you know, the big song and dance about these record profits, and he did these photos where he was obviously like ecstatic because he just made all this money for his shareholders. And next to, on either side of him, they've got these two girls dressed up in these costumes, but they have these ginormous headpieces on, which just make them look so tall and him look exceedingly short. He's like... so short. He looks like the shortest king you've ever seen.
If I was Alan Joyce, I would carry a portable joist to stand on. I would be, Alan, where's Joyce's joist? So I could be normal height.
Every time I get on a plane, and I'm 6'3", whenever I get on a plane and my legs are up against my ears and I'm like, who the fuck designs these planes? I'm like, they're all fucking designed to fit a Joyce. He's sitting there swinging his little legs around. Wee-hee, fiddle-dee-dee, taking his fucking millions. The rest of us.
I didn't agree to come on this podcast to be, you know, vibrated for being short because I myself am vertically challenged. And let me tell you, it's very, very difficult when you're walking down the chip aisle and you've got a pole vault to get the cheezels. It's tough. But I'm also not getting $20 million a year, so, you know,
he can pay a tall person to lift him up. I'll do it. I'll do it for basically nothing.
And maybe that's your new job, Lewis.
That's my new job. Alan Joyce Joist.
If you're listening to the free feed, you'll hear some ads. If you're on the Patreon feed, you'll hear us discuss Albo's interview with Ali Langdon on A Current Affair. How do you get to hear the free version? Well, you know, if you want an ad-free, sponsor-free version of the show, just sign up to the Patreon, patreon.com/irrationalfear. You also get discount tickets to live shows as well as access to the Discord.
Irrational Fear. It is the end of the world. You may as well laugh about it.
Just pausing the podcast, sitting here in the Irrational Fear Lounge with a martini in hand.
Hey there, Dan.
Hey there, Lewis. Good to see you.
Oh, my God. Is that the Rat Pack? Hey, boys. Take a seat. We'll be right with you after this ad.
Hey. Hey, if I could offer you a line of crispy, clean superannuation, would you take it?
Only if it's ethical, Dan.
It is.
Only if it's ethical.
It is, because it comes from Australian Ethical. Australian Ethical, our sponsor, who have been dealing with people's money since 1986, putting it into good companies who are part of the solution, taking it away from companies who are bad. I don't think they actually take it away from companies that are bad. They just can't give. They just don't give it. It'd be pretty.
They're not Robin Hood.
No, no. But it would be pretty fun to go up to, McDonnell Douglas and say, "Hey, give me that $6 billion back. You're not making any more weapons."
You're suggesting an ethical heist.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? That's a great idea.
Yeah, not bad. Ocean's 14, are you listening?
This sounds like a Michael Lewis book ready to be written. The Big Long, we could call it. The Big Long Con. I've done it. He's bloody done it. I haven't done it. Anyway, big thank you to Australian Ethical for sponsoring this show. They are also the big sponsor for the Australian Women in Media live show, which is coming up in a couple of weeks on stage at the Sofitel, the Australian Women in Media Conference 2023.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
That is it for Irrational Fear. Big thank you to Tash Exelby, Izzy Phillips and Lewis Hobber. Let's get our plugs underway. Tash, what would you like to plug? You plug in anything?
Well, I actually left the full-time field of journalism in February, so I started my own media consultancy, or relaunched XLB Media. Anyone out there needing media training or presentation training, or if you want to know about crisis management, and I'm not just talking about people who are going to say no to The Voice, then give me a call.
Tash, can you teach people how to do Australian newsreader voice?
I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Izzy, what are you plugging?
I'm plugging Follow Pedestrian on TikTok. I make lots of little fun TikToks, making the news fun, talking about all the good news stuff, like worms, like lots of worms.
Lewis, you're still doing live shows around the country. Oh, my God, you're the busiest man in showbiz right now.
Yeah, I'm doing a tour at the moment. Yeah, the next show is at the Tivoli in Brisbane on the 14th of September, which is nearly sold out. So if you want to come along to that, hop along. Then we're going to Canberra on the 16th, Bendigo on the 21st, and the greatest city in the world, Newcastle, on the 23rd, which is also nearly sold out. So come along to that. And also, I do have another new podcast called Hobber and Hing's Silver Bullet, which is really fun also.
That is it for Irrational Fear. Big thanks to Road Mike's Australian Ethical, our Patreon supporters, Jacob Brown on the Teppanyaki Timeline. Also, big thank you to Bronwyn Morgan for her voice in our sponsorship ad. Until next week, there's always something to be scared of. Goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This podcast is supported in part by Australian Ethical.